So what's up, dads? I know you might feel like, man, I'm not the homeschooling person. It's my wife. You know, she's the one that does the teaching and things like that. But I found using BJU Press homeschool curriculum, man, it really helped me out with my son, Sam Witt. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We go through these videos. Shout out to Mrs. Walker.
Mrs. Walker.
Shout out to Mrs. Walker. And, you know, it gives me the confidence to know that I can do it as well, that I can sit down with my son and we can go through these lessons and I can help him to see, you know, and understand what's going on. And so, man, it's a good way for us to connect as well. And it's not always our wives that have to do it. So I just want to give you that encouragement that you can do it too.
Check out BJUPressHomeschool.com today. BJUPressHomeschool.com, the premier sponsor of the Culture Proof podcast. Thanks for checking out Culture Proof. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And today we are discussing the reality that mainstream media is afraid of the word of God. And joining us to have that discussion is the founder and CEO of a ministry called LifeWise Academy. His name is Joel Penton. And recently he was the object of assault. That's probably too strong a word, but that's how I saw it by our mainstream media, that honestly, I think they're just afraid of what happens in the lives of students all across this country when they know what God's word says. Mm-hmm. I think they see that as competition for their religion in our public schools today. So Joel, thank you so much for joining us to have this conversation. Would you please introduce yourself to the Culture Proof audience?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Will and Miki, for having me. My name is Joel Penton. I am the founder and CEO of LifeWise Academy. I am the husband of one amazing wife named Bethany. I'm the father of five wonderful children named Joel, Judah, Luther, Vera, and Levi. And our ministry, we provide Bible education for public school students during school hours under a little-known Supreme Court ruling and little-known laws. Public school students can be released from school during the school day to receive religious instruction if the program's off school property, privately funded, and students have parental permission. Again, very few people realize this, but we learned of it. And so a few years ago, we started a program that we provide to communities across the country. It's starting to take off. We currently serve about 30,000 students across 300 schools in more than a dozen states.
Wow.
Man, Joel, I'm so glad that you started the way that you did, because I think that many parents would bristle when we say they don't realize that they have a right to their kids' education and to direct what they learn and how they learn. And I think that for so many parents, when our kids are in a setting outside of our care, and namely public school, public education, there is the belief, and I think our culture likes it this way, Joel, there is the belief that our kids no longer belong to us, that we don't have any parental rights over them anymore. We, you know, kind of give them over between, you know, 7:30 and 3:15, and then we have no say. But that just isn't true. And I want to go back to that, because I think it's important for parents to understand that not only do we biblically retain our rights, right? These are given to us by God. And in fact, it's an expectation that we would parent our kids. But our country actually recognizes that, even though our kids may be educated in a public school atmosphere. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, there's no question. I think on a very fundamental level, we have a higher degree of control over our own lives than most people realize. I mean, we're trying to train up our own children to understand that you can think outside the box. You can do things that most people think are impossible, but they're really just mental barriers. And that's the case in life, all aspects of life. And that's the case in educating our children, right? And I don't know whether it's subliminal. I don't know if it's groupthink. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But yes, we can have this impression that, oh, we just need to do what everybody does. We just need to put our kids in the school. We need to not think about what's happening when we're there. And that's not the case. We do have more control. And what we do with LifeWise, with the legal term is released time religious instruction, is a great example that the Supreme Court has ruled on this. There are laws in place about this. Parents can augment the education they're getting at the public school with things like religious instruction, but in our case, Bible education. It's just a matter of seeing parents kind of wake up to this. Yeah. And I think that's what's happening. The Supreme Court ruling that allows us to do what we do mm-hmm. was from the 1950s. Mm-hmm. In a certain way, we have been lulled into this sleep of, you know, just send the kids and just assume that they're getting the best. But especially with the happenings of the last, you know, since 2020, mm-hmm. more and more parents are waking up to say, wait a minute, what's happening at that school? Mm-hmm. How can I be involved? How can I think about directing the education of my child?
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because I remember we did a radio show where someone called actually and told us about this, mm-hmm. this, you know, opportunity to do this. And I had never heard of it. I was like, wow, you know. And so I want to know, because when I was in high school, the Lord put it on my heart to start a Christian club. And I did, and we had to meet before school started, you know. And so, and I know you guys specifically meet during school time, and that's a special thing. That's a good thing, you know. I wanted to know, how did you come to the point where it's like knowing about this, mm-hmm. right, knowing that you can do this, and then feeling a call to start these groups?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you making that distinction. There are many great before and after school programs. I know when I was in high school, I was a part of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Mm-hmm. It made a big impact on my life. And we love and support before and after school programs, as well as, you know, weekend programs, not to mention church, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we think all that's great. But yes, what we do is very distinct, and you could say unique, in that it's during school hours. It's a different body of law. The programs that I was a part of, that maybe you were a part of as well, mm-hmm. using the school building before or after school, that's mm-hmm. under equal access law, giving right. equal access to school buildings. This is release time law. And so I knew nothing about it. I spent 12 years traveling and speaking full time, doing outreach, doing evangelism for teens mm-hmm. After college. And then people in my hometown reached out to me and said, hey, Joel, we'd like your help with something. We have a released time program that we'd like you to help with. And I said, what is that? I don't know what released time is. I've never heard of that. Is that some sort of prison ministry? Or
right. You know?
And they said, no, in 2012, they started a program where they pull kids out of the public school, teach them the Bible, then take them back to school. And I said, that sounds illegal. Like, there's no way.
Right.
Are you really doing that? Like, you shouldn't tell many people, you'll get thrown in prison. And they said no. And that's when they pointed out the legality of the Supreme Court ruling. And they told me the incredible numbers that they had started in 2012. Their goal was to have 30% of students attend the program, because that's about how many kids attend church. Mm. But to their surprise, by the third year, over 95% of the entire school was enrolled in the program, being taught the Bible on a weekly basis. And their question to me was, you know, they saw the impact it was happening, it was having. And their question was, if we have this program that's clearly legal, you know, that's, it's unambiguously legal, and if it's so impactful, and as it was transforming lives, they couldn't figure out why every community in the country didn't have a similar program. And their question to me, as a guy who had started a nonprofit and was growing a nonprofit, was, could you help us figure this out? I tell people, when I was asked that question, is the day I gave up sleeping. Because I was immediately like, yeah, I mean, unless I'm missing something, this is like the single greatest missed opportunity of the American church to reach the next generation. We're constantly wringing our hands about how the Bible has been taken out of school, how prayer has been taken out of school. And right under our noses is this amazing opportunity. Mm. And all it takes is us getting organized a little bit and taking advantage of it. And so that's what sent us down the path of, you know, how do we figure this out? My conclusion was that there are so many barriers to entry to start a release time program, because you have to find a facility and transportation and curriculum and staffing and funding and technology. I said, there's too many barriers to entry. What if we created a plug and play program that removed as many of those barriers as possible, that made it easy so that local communities could hit the ground running without having to reinvent the wheel? That's how LifeWise was born.
That's great.
Our goal was to serve 25 schools by 2025. And here we are more than 10xing that goal by 2024.
Man, I'll tell you, incredible. That's great. And, you know, we were talking before and you mentioned about home education and how you guys do that. But what sticks out to me is that you still do this ministry. And so you're showing that, man, I care about the children in the schools, you know. And so I just thought that was powerful just to understand that, man, you know, we can do some things. I'm speaking Absolutely. To the homeschooling community because mm-hmm. there are some who listen, who do homeschool, but that we can have a heart also for the children who are in school, public school, that may not have access to, you know, certain things, that we can provide these type of programs. I appreciate that.
Well, there's no question. And, you know, every now and then someone will ask me how that could be that we homeschool our children and then lead this national public school ministry. And when someone asks me that, that just reveals to me that they don't necessarily understand, our mentality, because it's the same things that motivate me to homeschool my children.
Yes.
Come on.
Are those things that motivate me to view our community as a mission field.
That's
and
so good.
Our desire to engage with the public school. And so I like to tell people that as a Christian, I think public schooling is optional. You can do what you want. If you mm-hmm. want to send your kids to public school or private yeah. or homeschool, whatever, that's optional. But I would say engaging with your public school should not be optional.
Mm.
That is the future that's of good. Your community.
Mm.
And so, you know, for example, for us, our kids participate in the public school sports. And so my sons are on the wrestling team and the football team and obviously with LifeWise. And so engaging is so important. If you're not, then I would want to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, man, this is so good. Yeah, so Joel, good, I'm wondering man. This, and I want to be generous, you know, because I think that when there are times that we have discussions about, well, what we need to be involved in as Christians, or, you know, how we engage our community, you know, how do we engage in evangelism and how do we see a mission field? I'm wondering if you have encountered the presence of a sentiment almost that, you know, while people are publicly lamenting the loss of, you know, Christian influence in schools, they maybe had grown quite comfortable with that. Like, I'm wondering if you've run into people who are just kind of like, there's nothing we can do and just leave it alone. Like, just kind of let it go as it is. And if you do encounter that, you know, how do you take an opportunity to maybe even disciple those people as well?
Yeah, great question. You know, we get a variety of responses. Occasionally we will run into Christians who say it's a lost cause. Any type of investment into the public schools, even with a ministry like this, will only serve to prop up something that should be just burned to the ground or something. I mean, that's what some people will effectively say. That's a small number of people. Others more often will simply have disbelief, and they'll say, how on earth could this be possible? And they'll hear the numbers and they'll see what's happening with LifeWise, and they'll have a certain level of disbelief. And once we kind of demonstrate, well, you know, this is really happening, they'll say, well, this could never happen here. This could never happen in my community for this reason or this reason or this. And we have to kind of talk them through. No, it really can. You know, this is happening in the most inner cities, the most affluent suburbs. It's happening coast to coast. We're going to be live in Los Angeles next year, for example.
Wow.
there's an element of almost hopelessness. Like, we have lost the battle, and now it's just a matter of an organized retreat of some sort, which is sad, but I'm excited to share that that's not the majority of people either. The majority, we feel like, when we're telling our story and we're showing what's happening, that there's a lot of hope there. And certainly jaws are hitting the floor, but they're saying, wait, we can do this? We can really teach the Bible to our next generation? And people are getting involved. That's why we're seeing that, you know, 10xing that goal is not because there's something special about us, but because God's people are seeing it and they're seeing hope. and they're taking action.
You know, thinking about what you just said about it working in different areas, I don't know. I just had a thought that, man, I believe that this type of program will work even better in what you would call inner city areas or blue states or whatever, because there's a religious components in some Bible belt areas that people would feel like, oh no, we're good. We don't need, you know, and that, you know, there would be more of a hunger there. But I think anywhere, man, this is a great program, and I'm glad that you guys have put this together, you know. And like I said, when the guy called, I hadn't heard about it, but you guys have put something together that anybody can take and do. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I would agree. It in some ways it is more well received, especially the inner cities. The suburbs are in some ways the most challenging, although it's working there as well. Mm-hmm. But in our inner cities, there is a feeling of, you know, where's the community? where's the community to come and engage with us and to help? And they feel the pain probably the most of some of the policies and restrictions. Yeah. And I mean, the cities are taking that heat. And so we have school administrators in cities that when they see LifeWise is available, they're almost begging for us to come. There was a teacher in an inner city elementary school that when we went to her and say, hey, the next school we'd like to open up in this city is your school, that she was nearly in tears, saying that she had been praying for a faith-based partner for years.
Wow.
And so it does manifest differently, and there are obviously greater challenges in some areas than others. But I think that what is one of the things that's so exciting, and one of the things that I know we'll get there, the mainstream media is so freaked out about, is that it is a culture changing opportunity.
Yes.
That when you have half of the entire school or more going and receiving Bible education, gospel centered, Jesus focused Bible education as part of their public school day. So they get their biology class, get their math class, and then they get their here's how Jesus is the Lord of all creation class. You know, then they're bringing their Bible to school, they're talking about it, it becomes part of the culture, and then all sorts of things start to change.
Come
and
on.
That is unsettling to someone who wants Caesar to be the
Lord. Oh, come on. Oh, yeah. Joel. Okay, listen. Listen. The Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference happening in Denver, Colorado is June 13th through the 15th, and the Addisons are going to be there. We would love to connect with you.
Yes, we would love to. We're going to be ready because I hear that the air is thin out there, so we got to be ready.
So how are you preparing for that?
Are you doing breathing exercises?
Yeah, breathing exercises.
Yeah, breathing exercises. You know, I'm getting my cardio on down here so I can be ready.
Well, so am I.
I heard it's like mountainous. I don't know if they're going to be in the Rocky Mountains.
Okay, here's my question. Here's my question. If you drive, don't you allow yourself to gradually adjust to the altitude rather than like, you know, getting off a plane and then just boom, and now you're dead?
I mean,
I'm sorry, that was an exaggeration.
That would make sense, I think, but I don't know how it works. I'm just telling you, we need to be prepared. Nebulizer, you know, pump, like we got some kids that
we
you know.
Will be there. You guys, listen, please come and we would love to shake your hand.
Yes.
You will recognize us not only because we're podcasting, but because we'll be the family with the matching oxygen tanks. Just they'll be color coordinated. Hey. Like even little Timmy will have his own oxygen tank. It'll be okay. We'll be fine. You can learn more about the Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference by going to cultureproof.net. Click on engage and you'll see a list of events letting you know exactly where we're going to be.
That's right.
Cultureproof.net. All right. So there's several things. Going back to what you just said, Will the Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you talk about going into the inner city with the word of God, okay, like there's every grandma in the inner city wants her grandkids to know God's word, okay?
Correct.
And can't understand why Jesus was ever kicked out of schools. And so when you bring the Bible back, yes, every inner city grandma and mom, right? Because the grandma's going to tell her, no, they're going, is going to be involved in this. Because we know that the outcome of a kid knowing God's word, understanding the basics, like the Ten Commandments, right? Mm-hmm. Like the very basic thing that you don't kill people. right? Yeah, like right. You don't steal. Yeah. You don't lie to people, right? Yeah. These things are the types of things that change communities one kid at a time. And I really think, and we're touching on this and kind of dancing around it, but I really think that this is what is a threat to our government indoctrination. Yeah. Because there is religion in schools, by the way. And everybody knows this. Everybody knows that when you teach that you can be some disembodied person in the wrong body, and then you nurture that in kids, you are teaching a religious conviction. And I think that this is why NBC and MSNBC and all of their ilk, I think this is why they came for LifeWise. And but I do think, though, and this is where we can make a shift if you're ready. I don't think they were ready for you, Joel. I think, you know, because wherever the Bible is involved, I think they think that it's some backwoods country bumpkin who can't string two sentences together. And so what we're going to do is this drive by hit piece, and they won't know what hit them. But then you hit them back, Joel. So let's talk a little bit about that, because earlier this month, NBC did do a piece on your organization, on your ministry. And I want to play one clip here, just kind of the start of it, and then get your response to it and how it all kind of like panned out. So let me play this clip.
Sure.
Let's head to the library. This group of Whitehall School District students in Ohio put on matching shirts, board a bus, and head half a mile down the road to church. There, elementary students like Emmanuel and Savannah Brady pray,
amen,
and study scripture.
He approached the Philistine.
This is LifeWise Academy, a nonprofit bringing the Bible back into the public school day.
The learning really helps you learn about Jesus and what happened in the past.
Okay, so first of all, it's always going to be when you have the voice, right? When you have the, the reporter who is just sort of like, this is menacing, right? It seems like this is all hands on deck. Right. You know, everybody show up because you've got these kids. They put on their red shirts, right? And they get on the bus. And now we're all afraid. So Joel, talk about how this happened. How did they reach out to you guys? How did you get on their radar? And when did you learn that it was actually a hit piece, that you guys are using popcorn to lure students to God's word?
Yeah, well, we heard from an NBC reporter a few months ago about doing an article, and we agreed to do an interview. We want as many people as possible to see what's happening with LifeWise. We have nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. In fact, we want everybody to see it. And so just before I did the interview, we had a team member who did some research, and as I went into the interview, it just became clear based on previous writings, this person's stance on certain matters, particularly relating to Christianity. And so did that interview. He seemed interested enough to say, hey, I think we're going to pass this up the chain. I think our TV would want to do this as well. And so then we heard from NBC Nightly News that they wanted to bring a film crew. And of course, at this point, and we heard who would be doing it, who had similar views. and so we had the choice to make. Do we say, no, we're not interested? And do we kind of put up the walls? Or do we say, come on in? And we had to think about that for about 1 second. And we said, come on in. We opened the doors wide. We said, we'll line up. You can talk to whoever you want to talk to. We want the world to see what's happening. And we had every expectation that they would try to take every spin, every angle, try to dig up something. And we said, that's fine. Because we know that we're not perfect, but we know that we're serving the King, and we see the life changes happening. And we think if they will turn people's attention to what we're doing, we trust people to see through it. And I think that's what's been happening.
Yeah, it was so interesting to me because I didn't know about your ministry until NBC. So I thought, man, my goodness, if this is not all things working together for good. And I think about the millions of other people in this country who didn't know about your ministry, and then NBC, MSNBC, you know, and then all of the Christian outlets that then picked up on the story and then wrote about it. So I'm curious to know what has been I don't know if you want to call it the fallout, but what has been the blessing,
or even the response,
to the coverage that you've received?
It's been great because it has shed a light. Many more people know what we're doing, and they're looking into it. the NBC Nightly News piece was fine. I mean, they tried to make it sound controversial, and they certainly tried to paint it in a bad light, and yet it was still kind of just fine, is what I'll say. Mm-hmm. Now, the MSNBC piece was more of a hit piece. Mm-hmm. Like that, it was dishonest, frankly, the way they did the piece. And it provided an opportunity for us to, as you'd said, defend ourselves, for me to get on YouTube, because we know how to use the internet. to go on YouTube and to kind of pick it apart. And I'd say the response has been incredible. That our base, which has been a growing base, they saw the way we responded, and it felt like they were just waiting for that. They're just waiting to see, is LifeWise going to be an organization that when they get some pushback, when they get some, you know, challenges, that they're going to fold, that they're going to go and become one of these backroom, under the radar Christian ministries, or are they going to stand up? And that's what we've tried to do. We've tried to stand up and say, we are not ashamed of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to even do it under some sort of other guise. Like, we're not going to say, oh no, we're just a character education program, or oh no, we're just doing this or that. It's like, well, yeah, character education is part of it, and all these other things are part of it, but primarily we're teaching the Bible to public school students.
Yes.
And if parents want to sign their kids up, they can do it. If they don't want to sign their kids up, they don't have to. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court is in our favor. And so we're just, and the response, as I said, people were excited by that. They're energized by that. And certainly on the other side of things, the opposition is growing. You know, we're seeing Facebook groups come together to try to attack us, hackers being recruited to try to get into our website, and this and that. And honestly, I don't know. We're not super concerned about that. If anything, it tells us we're over the landing zone and we're right.
Come on. Are you looking for something fun and impactful for your kids to participate in this summer? Maybe you will allow them to join us and our family for a week in North Carolina at The Refuge. This is in Aiden, North Carolina. For one entire week, we and our family and a bunch of teenagers.
And mayflies.
And mayflies who all love Jesus. We don't know if the mayflies love Jesus, but the kids certainly love Jesus. We're going to be teaching biblical worldview. This is a week intensive of equipping and training kids to defend the truth of what they believe and to be able to stand boldly in a culture that is hostile to that truth. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org, July 21st through the 26th. You have the opportunity to join us and our entire family for a week of culture proofing.
Yes, it's going to be fun. It's going to be intensive. It's going to be great. It's going to be some memories that they're going to be able to take back home with them. So sign your child up now.
Yes.
Yeah, just a practical question. How is the word spread? I know they can't announce it. The teachers can't, you know, do certain things. Is it just children telling other children? Because I read somewhere where, you know, there was one teacher or administrator who was kind of upset, feeling like other students were being pressured. This is not fair for the non-Christian students when their peers are going to this.
Yes, because it was in the piece, you know, one student writing popcorn and other students saying, come enjoy. Like, I mean, it was so like menacing, right? Like it was like a who killed who.
Right.
Kind of a piece, right? So, okay. But the question is, how do kids learn about it?
It's
embarrassing what she did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they learned. It's funny, the double standard and the way it's so just, again, it felt like an SNL sketch.
Yes, it did. Yes.
It's like when you take, you know, it's satire. When you take something that's silly and put that music to it something. Because we even do that at the dinner table. Like I have this soundboard app on my phone that has like the movie horn. It's like, dun, dun. And I'll say something like, who wants green beans, and they'll hit the, you know, dun, 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 you know, and that's what it felt like, because it was
sure.
Like the students are handing out invitations to friends. Like, When is that ever bad? Right.
And then, but when you rip out a sheet of paper and then you just kind of like zoom in on that on the screen and it's like torn out of the little questionnaire, you know what I mean? It's like one student writing, you know, it's fun. Come and join us. If you, I mean, it's just, it was yeah. so satire.
It was, yeah. I do hope your audience sees it because the best part, and I'm sorry, we're maybe digressing,
but no,
when
do
she
it.
Says one student writing, his favorite part was everything. What? How could you do that with a straight face? Like, kid is saying they love everything about life. How is that bad? Somebody tell me.
Oh my goodness. Okay,
amazing.
So Joel, I want to play one more clip because I love, and you commented on this. People have got to go to your Facebook page. They've got to go to LifeWise Academy on Facebook because you trolled them in the most glorious way. I think the weightiness of just sort of, I feel like, this is what I feel. I feel like you showed up sort of like a, is there not a cause, you know, in your response to this? It was like, they are threatening us. They want us to cower. They want us to come up with something that is collectively acceptable, right? They want us to soften this. And so that we could say, no, we're just teaching people, you know, how to build moral character. And all of those things are great. And all of those things are necessary. But I love that you said, no, we're teaching the Bible. Mm. We are teaching the Word of God. So when there's a dad that is interviewed in this piece here, right? And the question is, well, when you take your kids out of school, aren't they missing out on things like library time, right? Okay, so let me just, can I play the clip here and then get your response? Okay, here we go.
Dad Daryl Brady says LifeWise lessons positively motivate Emmanuel and Savannah.
Do you think church has a place in school?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to bring churches back into schools for a long time.
Some of these sessions take place when library periods would be happening in school. Mm-hmm. Are you worried about your kids missing out on that experience?
Not at all. I mean, there's 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament.
Oh, I love him. I don't know who he is, Joel, but I love him. Like, so here's the thing. I love that when she asks this question of him, she squints. Because this is intense, right? She goes, are you concerned about your kids missing out on library time, right? And then he goes straight to the Bible. Yeah, there are books in the Bible, right? So right. Do you know this dad, or was this just a participant, or how did this happen?
The first day I met him was that day. It was our local program director from that community that found him. That he said he'd be willing to be interviewed. And yeah, I agree. That's where it shows... It's funny, like, to hear her ask that question in that way, to say, aren't you concerned that your child will miss out on the opportunity? What opportunity? To walk down the hallway to the library that they know how to get to before, after school, during lunchtime, a library that's much smaller than the community library that's down the street that they could go to anytime. And she doesn't say, aren't you so glad you have this opportunity for your child to say, it's just amazing the kind of one-sided, critical nature of the question. And yes, his response of how about these 66 books, one of the comments I made on my response video is, you know, I'm sorry, I would like my child to learn about the most influential book ever written.
Come on.
The most sold, the most read, the most quoted, the one that has inspired the most songs, the most poems, the book that has had more books written about it.
Come on.
Than any other book, that has inspired the start of more hospitals, orphanages, movements around the world. Yeah, I think I'll send my child to learn about that book and not what's at the school library.
Yes. Man, this is so good. Joel, look, I think, and to your point about the MSNBC piece, I think probably what was revealed was the true heart and the true aim behind the hit piece that was done on LifeWise. And that was the observation that if LifeWise were to continue to grow, that, you know, especially in like these blue states, that this could affect elections, right? Mm-hmm. Like this could affect the course of how kids vote and how they occupy, right? This is the aim. That you would create these carbon copy kids, that they all think the same way because they have been told how to think. Well, not told how to think. They've been told what to think, what right? To because think. If right. they're told right. how to think, right. then they will reject the collective. They will if they're told how, taught how, but they are told what to think. And so I think what they see is competition, right? So now what you are doing is you are stepping into a space where they have had a stronghold and you are saying, here is truth with a capital T. And I think this is what frightens mainstream media.
Well, there's no question. And in the MSNBC piece, it was very much an unmasking moment because the anchor or the woman there said, and this is a quote, that she was distressed to learn that so many kids are being taught the Bible, and that they expressed their concern that this would change voting patterns in blue. Well, these are their words, in blue areas. And I say it's unmasking because it shows what they're really concerned about.
That's right. That's right.
That they're concerned that the word of God really will renew minds, renew minds of the next generation, that it really will have an effect. And then it becomes particular. It's sad and funny at the same time. That's sad to see. But then what becomes funny is, the things they try to grab onto to tear it down, it becomes funny when they start saying things like a kid gave their friend an invitation or they have popcorn at their gatherings.
Yes.
Like someone, like I forget who was talking to me. They said it would be more effective to say, like, how come they're so cheap that all they have is popcorn? Right. Like, it's the most inexpensive snack of all time. Like, because when was the last time you had a gathering that there weren't snacks? It's just ridiculous to criticize.
It's like kids coming without gluten-free options. What are you doing? But I want to say this. I think they should be afraid, though, Joel. I think they should be afraid because the Word of God is that powerful. And it does change communities. Amen. We are so fixated on who's going to be the next person in office, not realizing that the people who will affect our society with the greatest impact are sitting around your table eating grits. Like, they're the ones who are saying, give me another strip of bacon, and we have neglected them. And I think what your ministry is doing is turning a flashlight or turning a spotlight on these kids. I'm curious to know, as you guys move forward in the wake of all of this, and what I hope continues to grow, just your presence in this country. I hope it continues to grow. What are you aiming for? How can people learn more, or maybe even bring LifeWise to their schools?
Yeah, well, that's what I hope that every single one of your listeners is wondering right now, is how can we bring this to our community? I mean, we genuinely believe that we have a viable path to reinstall Bible education for every one of the 13,000 school districts, 90,000 school buildings, and 50 million public school students in the nation. And so we've developed the tools. It's not about our organization. It's not about LifeWise. It is about the King of the universe and his kingdom. Amen. And it's about the Word of God. And so, but we have developed the tools to make them available to communities. And the way that you can engage with us primarily is through our website. You can go to lifewise.org, and every single school district in the nation is on our website. You can click Find Your School, and you can see where your school district is at. It starts with a signature campaign. We want to make sure it's grassroots. And so you'd find your school, add your name to the list saying, yes, we want this in our community, and then throw that on Facebook, text it, email it to your friends, get everybody together saying, yes, we want this. And then our team walks the community through the process of starting a local program. And yes, it really is our goal. I mean, at first, like I said, our goal was 25 schools by 2025. But then just seeing the way God's people are responding, we've started to simply ask, why not? Why not see this in every state? Why not see this in every county, in every school district? And what I think, one of the reasons I think people are responding so actively is because we've been so defensive in the last decades that, let's try to stop this. Let's try to stop this. And it's just kind of a defensive retreat. And here's a chance to go on offense.
Yes.
To say, no, we are going to do this. We are going to provide this to our next generation, because just as you said, these are our future leaders. This is our legacy. And so we're going to do this.
You know, that's a defensive lineman talking about offense.
Come on.
best, man, the best so offense good. Is a good defense.
Come on.
I've lost the analogy.
Hey, listen, my last question, my last thought, I'm wondering about maybe some of the grandparents or aunts and uncles listening. Do you have to be a parent with a kid in a public school system to express interest in bringing LifeWise to your district? Or can you be just sort of a community leader? Or what would be the requirements for someone who would be interested?
Anyone can be involved. And there's all sorts of ways to be involved. I mean, again, whether if you live, work, or worship in a particular district, or if you have maybe a grandkid in a district, you can jump on, you can begin the process of voicing your support. There are opportunities to be a local director, a local teacher, simply a volunteer, walking kids or busing kids to and from. Obviously, there's all sorts of opportunities to donate because it is all privately funded. So if you are a Christian and you care about our next generation, there are opportunities for you to get into this game.
Mm. Okay, so lifewise.org.
That's right.
Lifewise.org. I want to encourage all of our listeners, especially because we talk so much about resisting this culture. That's right. Talk about making gains for the Lord as we await his return. This is an opportunity for you to give. We have lamented what we see coming out of our public school system. This is an opportunity for us to pump something good into it. And I think we should take this opportunity.
Yes.
Joel Penton, the founder and CEO of Lifewise Academy. Joel, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Well, Miki, it was an honor and it was a lot of fun too. Awesome.
Thank you so much. As we often say, when we resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, we remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.